on a Monday night on the 22nd of November 1976. Three unmasked men went down to the bar. One went up to the counter and said, "Are you John Tone?" His answer was, "I sure am." And they shot him to pieces.
They shot the face of him.
They shot him in the neck and blew the roof out of his mouth. They shot him in the stomach, which got the kidneys. And then a third time in the chest too. He was destroyed. He was shot to pieces.
And this happened in a bar with people watching?
Yes. There was 11 people in the bar that night. There was never no... They're all too shocked. Nobody saw anything or heard anything.
And how did you hear the news?
It was 6 o'clock on a Monday night and the phone rang and I left it. "Hello, you Mrs. Tone?" "Yes." Was a priest. He says, "John's been shot and I think he's dead." And I thought, "Is somebody having me on?" And my son Danny, the eldest of the family, was upstairs doing homework and he passed me in the hall in his bare feet. And he ran across the road to St. Eugene's Cathedral and he beat down the parochial house door and Bishop Daly answered the door and he said, "My father's been shot but my ma needs a priest." So Bishop Daly came over and Father Neil Carlin followed him. And Neil Carlin phoned the bar and they said that it had happened and he was dead. He was rushed to Elton McGavin and believe it or not, the ambulance and all broke down taking him. They rushed him out, but he was dead on arrival to hospital.
And how did you break that news to your children?
My God, they were all in the swimming baths except this boy, the eldest boy. So he put on his shoes and ran down. And my father worked in a chip shop just below where we lived. My mother had died a year before that. And he ran in first there to his granddad, and then he ran to the baths and got them all out. And come on, my daddy's been shot. And them youngsters said, from them baths to Windsor Terrace, which was 2 or 3 minutes if you were running, they will never forget and think it ever shook off the pain.
And you were left to bring up all those children on your own?
7 of them. My father was my leaning post. He would have come in. Father lived next door to me, thank God, at the time. 5 months after the brain hemorrhage and died, said it was the shock of what had happened. He couldn't cope.
So you lost your husband and your father?
And my mother in 1 year and 5 months. I sort of lost her and had a lot of bad thoughts. Suicide and easy way out. And then I sat down one night and I thought, I could rear them 7 wains there if you take your own life. So I just gathered myself together and got on with it as best we could. And for 3 months, I had a phone call. Very, very late, towards the middle of the night. Is that you, Miss Tone? And you always had the answer because you're always thinking, gosh, what's it like to be a widower?
So that was somebody harassing you after your husband was murdered?
Do you believe that? For 3 full months, I was mentally fatigued at night.
Was that all they would say?
Yep. Is that you, Miss Tone? What's it like now to be a widower, eh? And I'd start to scream at him and the phone went down, but I don't think they ever traced the call, they couldn't. But my biggest fear after I thought them 4 boys of mine could have joined an organisation that could get on the bar, and they always laughed. Now, every chance I got, I sat them down and I said, "Do you see the night your daddy was shot? I thank God that I was his wife and not the wife maybe of the man that shot him." Well, that makes sense. I think that might have saved us a wee bit, but they didn't get involved. Thank God they done me justice that way.
And how do you feel when you hear all this discussion about dealing with the past and about support and helping people who've suffered like you?
I feel like phoning the radio and saying, there's no past when it happened to you. I mean, we're living with it 40 years. That night John died, I can remember the very colour, the clothes the children done them, what the house was like, and I've moved house since. It never passes you. You love it. Morning and night, you love it, and my youngsters are the same. There's no past. The past is our present. You know, and I listen to them saying, "Oh, we have to leave this and put it on the past." we'll never be able to do it. You know, these men don't realise when they pull a trigger the way they're leaving people. And I just think, well, the big man above will deal with them to no point in me. I never cursed them, or I never would have thought anything like that. I just thought, the man above will deal with them.
And what has it meant for you now, Marie, to write in this book, to have your say in this book? What has that meant to you?
I just feel as I'm a somebody now, and I was a nobody for 40 years. Now we're being heard. And it's not too late. Never too late to be heard.